Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul.
And I'm Stephen Hunt.
And today we're going to be talking about Anchorage Opera's upcoming production of The Sound of Music.
And to talk about it, we have Robert Ashens, the artistic director of the company, and Christine Eagleson, director of development and company manager, and also a performer in the show. Welcome to Stage Talk.
Hello. Well,
good morning, or afternoon.
Good afternoon. So let's begin our discussion by talking about the role of your company in the community here. I understand that you are a producing company. You don't necessarily bring in shows. You're producing shows here in Anchorage for the Anchorage community, correct?
That's absolutely correct. There's a very large difference between companies that present and companies that produce. We are a full-fledged company, which is manufacturing all aspects of a production, which we, you know, load into the Performing Arts Center and then offer it. But it's usually a good combination of principal artists that we bring in from around the country and sometimes even internationally, a good blend with local artists and talents and production company crews here.
So you are bringing in some guest artists for this production?
We do, yes.
Can you name some of the guests we may be seeing in the show?
Yeah, our Maria is a soprano, Katrina Thurman. Baritone Chad Sloan will be our Captain Von Trapp. And let's see, we have
Kurt Olds. Maximilian.
Detweiler. And actually, we have a wonderful local resident artist, Kate Egan, as the Baroness.
Elsa Schrader. I have to remember to say it in German. The constituency of the Von Trapp family, however, is really interesting because they're all local youths, including the oldest one, which is Christine here. She's the
Liesel,
looking absolutely 16 years old. Quite the opposite as how she looks on the radio here.
Well, I think the radio audience should know that she has her hair up and she's looking very elegant.
It's funny. My life switches roles. My day life is more formal than my evening. I turn into a 16-year-old in the evenings.
That's amazing. From being who you are to being 16 years old again.
Yeah.
I don't think we really need to say to anybody what this play is about.
The Sound of Music is a very popular play. Been around since how long?
Oh.
Well, 1959 was the original version with Mary Martin, and then the film that more people are familiar with in America with Julie Andrews, 1965.
That's right. Did you also know that Anchorage Opera was one of the first to produce it off-Broadway here in 1965, also simultaneously when the movie came out?
And how many people from that production are in this production?
I don't think there are
any. I haven't been thinking. That was 47 years ago.
A more somber note about this, last year was the first time The Sound of Music was ever presented in Salzburg. And of course, it produced a lot of tears and smiles. It was overwhelmingly accepted, but it was still quite close to the surface.
Hmm. Interesting. Because after all, it's a true story for those of you who don't know that it's a true story.
It's actually based on a true story. And of course, like any movie or musical, there are going to be ways of making it very palatable for an entertainment as well as an enrichment. The Von Trapp family actually left before the Anschluss or the annexation of Germany and Vienna and Austria together. But many of the experiences were quite the same from the story that Mrs. Von Trapp tells.
Including climbing the Alps?
Including climbing the Alps, yes, indeed. An everyday event for them, I'm sure.
There must be a song about that somewhere.
Mm. Oh, how does that one go?
I think the hills are alive with it.
Oh, I think they are. I think they are. For those two people in the audience who don't know some of the songs from this show, why don't you just go ahead and mention a few more?
Well, the title song is the first thing that is the first feature number that is sung. However, this piece starts very unusually. Most musicals begin with an overture, which gives a sampling of what the evening's music is going to be like. But this one begins in an abbey, Nonnberger Abbey, and the nuns are chanting the morning hymn. Well, there's a Latin hymn, and there's an Alleluia and an Amen, and the ringing of the morning bells. And then it immediately goes to the Alps, and so we see Maria, and she sings, "The hills are alive with the sound of music."
Beautiful song.
It is beautiful.
And speaking of music, the Sound of Music is normally considered part of the repertoire of musical theater, and yet you're an opera company doing this.
That's correct.
What were your reasons for choosing to do this most popular musical as an opera company?
Well, actually, this is a wonderful question. We are now in our 50th anniversary with Anchorage Opera, and I think one of the things that we have started to do is branch in the concept of further collaboration, that tying in that all arts are intertwined as opposed to, you know, just dance or just a certain type of singing or more purism as opera. Last season was one of the first where we presented a new works in the fall and then did a traditional opera and then a musical. We did South Pacific last spring. So this year we presented a new piece called, well, a newer, more modern contemporary piece with The Grapes of Wrath, Ricky Ian Gordon's. And then we just finished Verdi's very traditional Macbeth last month and now going into Rodgers and Hammerstein's The Sound of Music. So that's about, it gives us an opportunity to kind of present an array of styles of music that are both classical and contemporary, showing that all art forms are kind of actually intertwined, because if you think about it, musical theater is truly a derivative of opera, just a long, long running.
And so in my own mission across the country and internationally, I speak about the Olympics of singing and the type of individual that today we require. Some people will use the word crossover. It's not one of my favorite words. It's not a matter of crossing over from one style to another. It's a matter of being so well trained that your technique permits you to go from baseball to basketball, you know, from opera to musical theater. It's a technique. It's a style difference. And today's singers learn those styles very well.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guest Christine Eagleson and Robert Ashens from Anchorage Opera Company, talking about their upcoming production of The Sound of Music.
And I liked your sports analogy, going from basketball to baseball. It still requires athleticism, perhaps a different approach to the game. Are you having to do that with your singers to approach The Sound of Music differently than you would, say Macbeth?
Well, interestingly, to make that comparison, talk about going from dark to light, Macbeth was probably not produced here until this time, because amassing the resources to be able to do such a monumental work, it's one of the heaviest that Verdi ever wrote. So the skill sets of the Lady Macbeth and Macbeth in those leading roles and the supporting roles are all extreme heavy technique that requires an older singer. It cannot be a young, youthful 20-something or even 30-something. These are people who are well-established. And so that it takes a while to be able to present a piece like Macbeth. Sound of Music, however, is a lighter use of the voice. However, everyone who was hired for this cast is both an opera singer and a musical theater singer. Again, not to use the word crossover, but to say that their technique enables them to encompass both.
And it's certainly a shift vocally to go from just a few weeks ago singing a piece like Verdi to singing Rodgers and Hammerstein. I actually had the conversation last night with our soprano, Katrina Thurman, who is our Maria, about the difference in how you place, she and I are both sopranos, and how you place singing something and you approach it vocally. Do you sing it like a soprano or do you sing it more dental in the front? Because the sound changes to that more musical theater type of ringing that people are accustomed to hearing. You know, they hear on microphones, it's a bright sound as opposed to more vocally deep that you would hear in a piece like Verdi or Puccini. So there's definitely an approach and something that has made a dramatic shift, even from all of our resident artists who just a couple of weeks ago were singing Verdi and are now singing Rodgers and Hammerstein.
I have another sports analogy for you. Yeah, and this is relative to the type of training that earlier singers from the 20th century had. So many of them became like Mickey Mantle. You know, when Mickey Mantle hit a home run, the presses stopped. Everything stopped on the planet, and we all cheered because he hit a home run. He was a great ball player. Today, everybody hits home runs. Everybody hits the high C. All of the sopranos can hit a high C or D or E. Tenors, same thing. That's a regular thing for them. When I was a kid, if you sang a B flat, that was something. Now, of course, they've extended that, and that's just like all of the other sports combined.
Interesting. To shift gears a bit here, when one thinks of opera, one often thinks about the visual effects as well, the spectacle of the scenery. And And I know for the for Macbeth, you had a real interesting set design for that. You're performing this at the Discovery Theater in the PAC. What sort of scenery do you have for this show?
We have a wonderful set, actually, that is designed by, what is her name?
Cleo.
Yes, she is from...
She's from England.
England. Yeah. So we've got this beautiful, beautiful set. So it's an entirely new design specific for this production.
And built here, of course, in our shop.
So you have a full...
Full production
staff. Mm-hmm.
I think no production of Sound of Music can be produced without at least some semblance of the Alps. But this is quite a nice showing of the Alps in her rendering of this. And then the interiors. We have lots of interiors, the Von Trapp estate and the patio outside. And so this is a little bit more fleshed out. For those who saw Macbeth, you could be happy seeing the representation of a column or some kind of castle-like feature. Here you see much more solid evidence of a place.
So you're trying to recreate that world of the play back in the 1930s?
Well, it's...
Yes, it's, yeah, it is set in the appropriate era. The living room
yes.
in the Von Trapps is this beautiful blue with ivory and gold, sort of ornate. So it's going to be just...
It has to have a Viennese opulence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. This is a small part of this, but many people don't know that the Von Trapps actually came to America and sang, and I was fortunate enough to hear them.
Wow.
Did you hear them in New Hampshire?
No, I heard them in New York, actually.
Yes, they traveled a great deal.
And it always touches me to see this play, to remember that that's what they did after they left.
Well, they were very interesting people and went through
very sad
times.
Yes. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time, and I want to thank you both for coming, Christine Eagleson.
And Robert Ashens.
To talk about Anchorage Opera's upcoming production of The Sound of Music, which I hope lots of people will come to see.
I'm sure it's a beloved family classic for generations now.
Well, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
And now, here's the State Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar or to post your event, go to datebook49 on alaskapublic.org. Up in Wasilla, Valley Performing Arts will be producing The Wizard of Oz beginning March 23rd and running through April the 29th. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. For tickets and information, call 373-0195 or go to valleyperformingarts.org.
It's the last weekend to see Cyrano's production of Superior Donuts. I like this play very much. It's a serious comedy. Showtimes are tonight and tomorrow at 7 and Sunday at 3. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
And for something special on April Fool's Day, the Storytellers Guild of Anchorage will be presenting The Liars Club at ACT Theater. They'll be presenting this on Sunday, April Fool's Day in the evening. Now, they have room for more tellers from the general public, but the deadline is tomorrow. So if you have a prevarication that you can spin into a tale of around 8 minutes, you can call Betty Arnett. Her number is 346-1781, or send her an email. And her email address is ishka@gci.net.
Also at Cyrano's, audition Sunday from 10:30 a.m. till 1 p.m. for Ten Chimneys, which opens May 1st and will be directed by David Edgecombe. Call Cyrano's for more information.
ACT will be giving a class in intermediate acting on Saturdays, 10 to noon, beginning March 24th and running through April the 28th. Taught by Linda Benson, who is also offering a free refresher of her beginning class tomorrow from 10 to 12. Call 344-4713 or email actfamily@gci.net.
There will be a master class for actors with Fred Newman, the master voice artist and sound effects guru for A Prairie Home Companion. The date is next Wednesday, March 21st at 7 p.m. at Cyrano's. For more information, call 274-2599.
And also over at Anchorage Community Theater, they are running their production of Proof. This show runs through April the 1st. Showtimes are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7, and Sundays at 3. Tickets are available at their website or call 868-4913.
And finally, Anchorage Opera's production of The Sound of Music opens Friday, March 30th, and runs through April 7th. There will be no production on the 2nd and 3rd. For tickets and info, go to 263Arts or go to centertix.net. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul.
And I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.